My name is Roland Bock. I'm head of development at PPRO Financial Limited. I'm also the author of SQL++11. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as part of the examples. I was also author of my news project called KISS Templates, which, besides the name, doesn't have to do anything with what we're talking about. It's about text templates, not about C++ templates. All right, so the talk is about pruning error messages from your C++ template code. So what is it not about? It's not about trying to filter out template error messages from the compiler output after the fact. Right? It's about going to the root cause, trying to eliminate as much as possible. And what got me started was some years ago, an article by Eric Niebler called Why Template Error Messages Suck and What You Can Do About It. This site, Expressive C++, is, I think, more or less dead now. The link is dead when you go to Eric's site, I think. But you can still find the article at archive.org. And it's a cool article. At the time, I didn't really have much to do with template programming, so, I read it, it was interesting, but I didn't do anything with it. And then 2 years later, I started with SQL++11. And SQL++11 is an embedded domain-specific language for SQL in C++. So that means that you can write stuff like this. You can basically write SQL expressions in C++, or something very close. Somebody who can read SQL can probably read this. So in this case, assuming that you have some object that represents a table, in this case foo, you can select a bunch of columns from this table with some condition and send that to your database, loop over the results, and the results, friendly enough, also have the result rows also, friendly enough, have aptly named members with reasonable types, so you can have the full C++ compiler machinery to tell you when you're doing something wrong in pretty much all respects. So this library will tell you at compile time whether you're forgetting a table in the from, for instance, or if you're comparing incompatible columns, or I don't know, if you're mixing aggregate functions and non-aggregate functions, stuff like that. So the compiler can tell you all about that at compile time. Well, that's the compiler. As you can imagine, this is heavily templated. It involves deeply nested templates, and it also means that if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you can get horrible error messages. Like in this case, in a version from about a year ago, it's a harmless looking code. So you select from a table T, column alpha, and then you have one tiny mistake. What you did before, maybe earlier on, was you wrote SQL expressions in C++ as strings. So the user here, wrote the table as a string, or as a character array here. So that's not expected, and the library expects a table object here. So what it does is it answers with horrible error messages. And I haven't shown them here, just the summary. It's 18 kilobytes of error messages in 100 lines for GCC, recurrent GCC, and 38 kilobytes in 200, or almost 300 lines with Clang 3.6. For all Windows users, I'm sorry, I don't have access to a reasonable version of a Microsoft compiler. All right, so that's the problem. we want to get rid of that, or at least reduce it as much as possible, because that's unusable. And in this talk, I will explain a range of techniques which go from easy to explain, hard to use, and hard to explain, hard to use. And there is no silver bullet. There's nothing that really helps in all situations. But if we take a look again at this thing here, the differences between the compiler, one of the first things that you can do to reduce the pain is, well, you can support compiler developers, because compilers make a difference. And if you stumble over something like this, then, well, you can tell the other teams that, hey, the other compiler is much better, so why don't you improve your stuff? And give reasonable examples so that they can work with that, for instance. Also, the library itself makes difference, so code quality matters. If you stumble over a library or over something that you happen to do, and the library and the compiler in combination produce horrible error messages, well, consider it worthy a bug report towards that library. Okay, that's important, and it's also very important because this bug that I showed you on the previous slide is something that I didn't find. It didn't even occur to me that somebody could ever do this. Didn't cross my mind. So I was relying on a bug report there. Okay. Who knows the best way to avoid template errors? Right. Don't use templates. And no, I'm not kidding. And the reason why I'm saying this is I've seen so many developers using templates just because they can, right? It's C++, goddammit. We have to be generic or whatever. I mean, there are many reasons. But yeah, many people just use templates because, well, they want to, or they think it's cool. So make sure that you really need them, make sure that you really need to expose them, even if you use the templates in your own library. Maybe a simpler interface, a non-template interface, could be totally sufficient for what your library is offering. Maybe you don't need compile-time polymorphism. Maybe runtime polymorphism is totally sufficient. In that case, well, forget about the templates, or at least don't expose them. Or you can maybe also hide templates behind inheritance. So this is something that I'm using. So this is a struct that represents a table in this library. It's generated code. It's generated from the from the data definition language. And the code generator, well, does the work anyway. So why not let it generate explicit types and then hide the instance, the template that does the real work for it behind inheritance? This way, it's just a type. It doesn't have it. It's not a template. And if you knew what's going on in that table, you would agree that this is a very good thing. Okay. And this is just to illustrate the difference. This is one of the lines from that previous error. If you don't do hide the table template, this is if you hide it, and what you still can see this repetitive stuff with SQLPP column, and then something. The columns also are templates. Since we know those in advance, at least in most cases, we could also hide them behind inheritance, and then it would look like this. Okay, so sounds easy. It's actually pretty hard. I haven't gotten to this column thing yet. I have 3 attempts. They all failed. I need to try it again, but because I wanted this short. All right, so don't use templates if you don't have to. The next thing is try to avoid recursion. especially since C++ 11 with these very big templates, every introduction that I've ever read about varied templates says, well, the key to variadic templates is use recursion, right? Take one element from the front, do something with that, and then forward the rest to the next instance, okay? But you want to avoid recursion because recursion is slow in the compiler. It's rather limited because you're basically building a stack of templates, and that stack size is limited, and it leads to dreadful error messages. Okay, so I think there is a whole talk about for each, so I'm not going to go into too much detail here. So we want to write a function that calls a unary function for each of the following arguments. The introductions always pretty much stay the same. Okay, you have one closure element that has no arguments beside the function. Okay, that does nothing. You have then this recursive thing that takes at least one argument plus a rest. It evaluates this argument and then calls this call for each function again, right, with a rest. Okay. Okay, let's test that and see what happens. So we write a test function and then call for each with this test, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10. And, well, 10 happens to be something weird, right? I don't know, this is a very, very contrived example, but this is stuff that happens, okay? Now, Clang says this. That is annoying, right? It's always the same, basically. There's no real information about this. And it goes on few lines below this. Okay, that's annoying. But that's recursion for you. Now, there is a solution to that. You can, with this little trick, you can basically instantiate an array of ints with a function call, comma operator null, effectively initializing it with a list of ints. This is one of those versions which I think also guarantees that the order of execution is like the order of the arguments. Yes. I'm sorry?
Doesn't that require you to use an initializer? Sort of list if you want them to be in order? I might be wrong about that.
Are we?
He's initializing an action, so he gets the guarantee. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So if we do the same test with that, cool. I mean, that's nice, short, and easy. Okay, and in C++ 17, hopefully, I'm not sure if that's now really guaranteed, but hopefully we will get fold expressions, and then it will be much easier, and nobody will really have to think about what's going on. So fold expressions will be cool. Okay. By the way, GCC in this case, much better. GCC detects the recursion immediately and basically produces in all cases the same error messages. Very nice. Okay. So we're going to use this for each call will appear in some places. Another thing that will appear in some places is a non-recursive all. So we want to at compile time, evaluate if an arbitrary number of bools are all true. All of them should be true. Okay, so we want to do that. Right, and I'm not going to show I'm not going to show the recursive version because everybody can do that. The non-recursive version is for some people a bit surprising. So we have this logic helper that's just a class that takes bools. And in our alt template, we compare this instantiation of the logic helper with the arguments with another list that has the same number of arguments, but everything is set to true via this comma operator. Right? Everybody get that? Here, this thing here with a dot 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 produces as many trues as you have arguments. And if this instance of logic helper is the same as this, then everything is true. Okay. Depending on how many bools you have, this is orders of magnitudes faster than any recursive version that you can think of. All right. Okay, and I hope I got it right, the C++ 17 style with fold expressions. Yes?
Quick thing on 25. You could actually be even cooler here. This is amazingly elegant. Is same, if you get double colon type, that is the integral constant that is same represents. So you would get the true type or the false type. You don't need to form it again with integral constant bool. You could just say is same double colon type.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the comment by Stefan was that I don't even need to wrap the is same thing in the integral constant. I can just use it directly. Cool, yeah. All right. So next thing is about a tool that appeared in C++ 11. That helps to generate useful error messages. So what we've seen so far are techniques to reduce the amount of error messages, but they are still compiler-generated error messages. Static assert gives you human-generated error messages. So for instance, you have some kind of class, and you want to, not very elegantly here, but you want to reduce constrain the template argument to something that is integral, and you can just use a static assert and say, well, if it's not integral, then okay. Right. I also use this in partial specializations. So for instance, I have a typeset, and there are meta functions on it to join typesets. Right. So L and R have to be typesets for this to make sense. So the good case, the golden case, is, well, you make a partial specialization. You see that, well, okay, these are typesets, and then you can make a new typeset from the parameters from that. The question is how to proceed. Well, one way is to just leave it as that. Then the user will get, if they instantiate a joint typeset with something that is not a typeset, they will get weird error messages, something like missing implementation, which is a bit annoying because they don't know, is it a library error? Did I forget to include a header file? Is it my problem? They don't know. Right. So I would like to give them a static assert which says that L and R have to be typesets. Right. The question is, how do I do that? Because, I mean, basically, these three question marks, they have to be false always when this is instantiated, because whenever this is instantiated, it's obviously an error. But I can't put false there because the compiler would fire the static assert immediately. Also, I don't have a type trait for type sets. I mean, it would be easy to write, but I don't want to, because I have so many things that have similar situations, and I don't want to write type traits for all of them. So what would be cool would be a just-in-time false. Whenever this gets hit, it suddenly appears and then fires the static assert. One thing that I do is I have this nice type that is called wrong. Can be instantiated with anything and for a human, it's pretty much clear that this is always false. For the compiler, not so much, because the compiler has to think of partial specialization or forced specializations or whatever, so it cannot deduce that this is really always false. It has to wait until you really instantiate it. Okay? So, and it would look something like this. That is the bad case, so in this case, L and R aren't typesets, and then we just use wrong with the type that we're currently in, take the value, static assert, that's it. Make sense? Okay. Good, and again, the golden case. Right, we can also use static assert in functions, of course, and as it so happens, the code that we were testing in the leading example has a from method that that delegates the whole work to another function. That was because there is another from function that has slightly different arguments, and I wanted to move everything into one implementation. The implementation contains a static assert and then continues with some more static asserts and doing the real work. Now, in the case that we currently had, it starts reasonable, right? So we're instantiating with something that is not a table. Static assert fails and it says at least one argument and is not a table in or a join in from blah. Okay, that's reasonable. Then you can see the call stack, which is at least one level too much because we have this indirection into this implementation function. And then we see the place where it all originated, our own call. So far, so good. But then the compiler carries on because there is another static assert which also fires because it's not a table, and whatever it tests now assumes that this is a table. So all hell breaks loose, and so it continues to carry on. Even though static assert is a non-recoverable error, so I mean, there is not really a point to that in my eyes. But anyway, so this attempt that I made when I added this static assert in that function didn't work out too well, right? So the static assert is too far away from the call side. The compiler continues to run on like a beheaded chicken, right? No chance of survival, but let's keep running. What I had removed some time earlier because of bad experiences was if I have a static assert in return type. This gets even worse, right? And these 100 or 300 lines of code of error messages turn out to be like 1,000 or so. Horrible. And yeah, that's I think that's it. So it didn't turn out too well. So let's try something else. Did anybody not stumble over enable if during this conference or otherwise in their life? Okay, everybody knows what enable if is. Good. That's good. All right, so I tried this. So try to eliminate the function from the overload set if the arguments aren't all tables, right? Now, Clang says, that's cool. You try to call from with a column in this case, not a table. There's no matching member. The candidate template has been disabled by disable if. Okay, cool, that's beautiful. GCC, on the other hand, the compiler that was so cool in the other examples, now says, well, there is no matching call. candidate, blah, 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 and well, just give me all kinds of details that I don't want to have. Then carries on. And this really goes down into the basement and beyond. Right. So, yeah, compilers make a difference. Right. So, then at that time, concepts light were a big topic. I heard talks about that. Let's try that. Okay, so let's assume we had a concept for a table, which is simple because we already have a type trait for a table, so that's easy, writing that down. And then I wanted to use the really terse notation saying that, okay, I expect any number of tables here. Okay, and then if those are given, then do whatever is required. Okay. Now it turns out that GCC, which I think is the only compiler that does support concepts light anyway, until today, thinks that this is illegal, right? This here, in certain contexts, not in all contexts, but in the context of this library, being in some Veridic CRTP template function with, again, Veridic templates, that's illegal. Saying that invalid use of pack expansion expression is complete bullshit. And it raves on for many, many pages. So concepts light are not really usable. But, well, let's at least try again what it would look like if only it worked. So I tried to use the requires form of adding concepts to a function. Okay. Or trustworthy all again with the requires. Okay. And now GCC says something useful. Right? It's a relatively short error message and it says, well, no matching function call, constraints not satisfied, and it lists the constraints, and that's fine. Okay, so that's good. And if it weren't for the bug, I tried to. So this is not taken from a live experiment, but this is what I think GCC would generate if it hadn't this bug with the parameter expansion. Then it would probably produce something like this, which is in the end rather similar. So a short message, constraints not satisfied, and very, very detailed actually saying that table of const char putter that is not satisfied. Okay. Right. So that is really not bad. But it's not ready yet. Right. You can't, at least in context like mine, and I mean we're talking about heavy template motor programming, you cannot use it yet because of all these bugs, and there are tons of bugs, and the one that I reported because of this is just one of many currently. And there are even bugs in the TS that I know of. Okay, so what we've seen so far, these methods. Well, static assert gives you specific error messages, but the compiler continues and spills. And actually, the static assert in the function body is too late if you have problems in your return type. So that's annoying. Enable if gives you ugly code, I think, or at least, well, yeah, in my perspective, enable if is really ugly. Error messages that come out of it are ugly. Concept light has nice code, often halfway decent error messages, but it's not really ready yet. And the developers, not only for GCC, but for all compilers, really need your support because there are so many cases and nobody can think of everything, I think. And you need really good named concepts because otherwise people will look at the error messages with the concepts and have no idea what the compiler is talking about. So you have to have many concepts probably. Okay. All right, so let's combine methods. First thing I wanted to try was enable if and static assert. So we start out with the same thing as before, enable if, and then the good case, and add a counterpart that takes care of the bad case, right? So if this is if not all of these arguments are tables, then well, this kicks in. Put a static assert here. And and the return type is something different because this makes sure that the return type doesn't give us trouble. And the error messages, well, it says void is not a structural union when we want to continue in our expression here. That is good. The static assert fires, that's also good. So that's not bad. But the problem is that you blow up your interface, and right? You add more functions to it, functions that you actually don't really want to have. Personally, I don't like that very much. And one other problem that cannot occur here, because we have very templates that catch any combination of arguments, but you could easily construct something where you have variants of arguments that don't catch everything. And then based on what we've seen before, all hell will break loose, because then suddenly everything is removed from the overload set. All of these are disabled by something, and then you have tons of error messages. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really like this enable if approach. So another version is that you do static assert and tag dispatch. So what does that mean? Well, you you enter the function, you do the static assert, and then you call an implementation function. So you don't do anything else in this function. You call an implementation function, and you use the check that you used earlier on as a type for dispatching to one of two functions. One takes as a first argument a true type, does something useful in that case, and the other takes the false type and doesn't do anything. It's not even implemented, because I mean there's no point. If that's called, then everything's bad anyway, and returns in SQL++ 11, it returns a bad statement, which is, well, you could also return a void. It doesn't make much of a difference. All right. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So that means, well, we get first the error message that, well, with this return type we cannot do anything of the rest of the statement. Okay, that's okay. Can live with that. And then static assert fails, well, at least one argument, blah, 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 is not a table. And then one more line, we're done. Okay, so these are all the error messages that we now get. Right? So we reduced hundreds of lines of error messages with this just very simple technique of static assert and tag dispatch to three lines with a very clear error message. Okay. Then there are people who say, well, but static assert is not Svina friendly, and it isn't. I mean, if you run into a static assert while evaluating something for Svina, well, you're in bad luck, because it's a hard error. You cannot recover from that in a Svina. And if it's in an unevaluated body of a function, then it doesn't even fire while you're evaluating this. So some people don't like this approach because of that. But I'm saying, if you or some user wants to do Svina on your function calls, then I mean, they can do it on the return type. Cool. That should be documented, of course, what's happening in the error case. Or you could document the check. You should do that anyway. You can document the check, and then they could use that check in their Svina expression. So I think that's okay. And important for things like this, you notice the decal type from implblah. do not use C++ 14 return type deduction. Does anybody know why?
It doesn't
spin A. Yeah. Because, well, you run into the static assert then. Because the compiler has to evaluate the body of the function, then boom. All right. Good. So another question that is not related to this example directly, but to the same library is, now what if I have several different conditions that I have to check, and even unknown checks that I have to perform? So, unknown conditions? Well, that's weird. But turns out that this is a real normal case in at least in this kind of library. So we have a database mock in the library that is used to test all these expressions and see how they interact with databases. And when you give that a statement, then it tries to call a run function on the statement with the database itself as an argument, and does some ping pong anyway. And we call this with this harmless looking piece of code, expression is correct, then we will get something like this. Suddenly says, static assert failed. Where expression required? Because this library, it's my library and I designed it this way, so saying that there always has to be a where expression, even if it's where true, indicating that you actually wanted to select everything. But if it's not there, I'm assuming that you just forgot and you wanted to select, I don't know, two elements maybe. So, and this has proven helpful in many cases. So this is a good error message, but then it carries on and says, well, it's somewhere in a nowhere type, and then you see this swallow that you've seen before, and somewhere in check consistency, and that is inside statement, and that is inside runtime methods of statement, and that is inside the mockDB, and that is called by our expression, okay? So again, and these individual lines are much longer, so they don't just end there, they carry on, I don't know, to the balcony, so. So this is actually hurting when you see that. So, but since we're here, and we're just seeing the statement, the question is, how do we figure out what to check here, right? At this place here, it's pretty much unknown. So let's take a look at an SQL +11 statement, how that looks like. So that is a veridic template, and for select, it looks something like this. So you have, for an empty select, I should say, so something that you start with, you start your expression building with this. It's something that that contains no with. It has an indicator that, hey, this is a select statement. It has no flags, no columns selected, no from, no where, and so on. Nothing in there except for these types. And all of those, the database operator doesn't know how to check any of those in detail. But the individual components of this SQL statement, they know what to check. And that's where this error message came from that we saw. Okay. So the first thing that I tried was, well, let's collect the information whether our expression or could be run through the database, yes or no. Let's collect that from all the clauses, right? So we use this implementation of all and combine that with a run check value from each and every individual clause, okay? And then in our database implementation. We use static assert on that, saying that, well, if that's false, then the statement is inconsistent. And then we use tag dispatch to carry on with the rest of the work if the statement is okay. Right? So in the true case, we do what we did before, and in the false case, we don't do anything. Okay, cool. So that gives us a very short error message saying that static assert statement is inconsistent. And then you see this, and you say, well, select alpha from, I don't see anything, and there is no problem. So if I hadn't told you that that the problem is that the library expects aware, well, I don't know, you probably would have filed a bug report or dropped the library for good, or I don't know. So this is absolutely not helpful, even though it's short. So we want to get the specific error message back. And for this, I'm using something that I call portable static assert. That's basically, for each of the static asserts that I have in the library, I now create a type with some reasonable name so I can find it again, containing an indicator whether it's a good or bad case, and a static function, a templated static function, that whenever it's called, fires a static assert, a very specific static assert then. Okay? And of these, I have, I don't know, 30 or so in the library. And I also have the OK type, that is something that is called consistent. It just contains the true, saying that, hey, this is everything OK. And the function, the same function, but it doesn't do anything. Right? And then in the same manner, just slightly more complex, in which we've collected the bool information earlier on, we're now collecting these consistency representation classes with some function that's not really very well named. GetFirstIf takes a predicate saying that is consistent, is inconsistent, and a default value and a number of these consistency classes. And if there is any inconsistent class, it takes the first one. Otherwise, it takes the default value, or the default type, the consistent type. All right? And then we can use that in our database and say, okay, now we call this function on the run check object, and if it's the consistent case, then this function doesn't do anything. In the inconsistent case, it fires an assert, a very specific static assert. Okay, make sense? Okay. Right. And the result is one line more than before, but because we have to go into this helper function in this inconsistency class, we get a very specific error message saying that where expression is required. Then we see this call stack with this helper function, then our call. So that is short and helpful. Okay. So, are we there yet? Well, any time you see such a question in presentations, the answer is no, of course. No, we're not there yet because what I did here, I was calling run check on this statement object, and if this is not actually a statement, then well, maybe probably run check isn't even available. So this will cause horrible errors. So what we have to do is, well, we have to write a wrapper for that that basically does exactly the same as all the other of these portable static asserts. It checks if the thing is in fact a statement. And yeah, so in the default case, it yields this static assert runtime or prepared, which basically says this is not a statement if it's found. And the good case is, in case this is a statement, then it just yields the run check of the statement itself. Okay. And with that, now I think at least everything is harmless. And we can, if we call, for instance, with this function with a string, then we would get again a three-liner and not something that blows our screen. Just saying that, okay, connection cannot run something that is neither a statement or a prepared statement. Very short and precise information. Okay. Now we're done. At least with this library. And as I said in the beginning, there is no silver bullet, so whatever I presented, it's working for the stuff that I do. I think there are much of this is also applicable for other libraries as well. All right, so my suggestions in summary for reducing template error messages is support compiler developers. I think that's really important. Support library authors, again, very important. Library authors rely on feedback because otherwise they cannot improve their library. Try to minimize the exposed templates. Try to minimize recursion. It's hard to wrap your head around that. I know. Perform parameter validation at the API border, so as close to the user's code as possible. Document your validation conditions, also very important because people will rely on those. And use static assert with great care. So don't use static assert in return types. Combine it with tag dispatch so that the compiler cannot carry on with all kinds of nonsense that you know is incorrect because you just made a static assert to say so. And I think these portable static asserts are helpful if you have to collect conditions from several areas of your code. And last point, experiment with concept slide. I think that is also very important because that is going to change the way that we are writing libraries in the future, and it's important that that the language gets this right. All right, thank you. Do you have questions? Okay. Well, I mean, especially the recursion stuff, okay, thanks for the hint. So the question is, do these techniques impact compile time? The recursion stuff does impact compile time dramatically, depending on the number of arguments, of course. Most of the other things, I'm not really sure. I know that that this these portable static asserts put a considerable additional load on the compiler in terms of what they can really digest. I don't know about compile time, but I've seen GCC and Clang barf several times when. The code was arranged in a certain fashion, and just by rearranging it slightly and twiggling the code, having basically the same functionality. So for a human, it's the same, but then they suddenly don't crash anymore. Stuff like that makes it more complex for the compiler, of course. But I haven't done intense measurements for that. I haven't seen anything where it says, "Well, okay, suddenly it's." Twice as slow or something like that. Yeah.
So Is there C++ 14 things that you're using here, or most of this works with 11?
The library is C++ 11 only. There are a few things where indicated that it's C++ 17 in the slides, but the code examples and the technique that I showed are all C++ 11. Yes?
Could you go back to 45? I really like the portable static cert, by the way.
Cool, thank you.
Did you get that, or did you pick it up from somebody else?
I invented it myself, which doesn't say that nobody else did it before.
Okay,
so,
okay, I'll credit you.
Yeah, same with the all, by the way. This
the comma true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a cool trick.
Yeah, that was a result of a discussion on the Boost mailing list, and we sent versions back and forth, and then I don't know, suddenly light bulb.
I just want to mention when tag dispatching. Mm-hmm. Here, this is correct, but you could also just say true type and false type. Take the tag by value, slice it. I mean, if the thing derives from true type or false type, who cares? It's an empty struct, so just slice it, best by value. There's no reason to take it by construct.
Okay. All right, so the comment by Stefan is, take true or false type by value. It doesn't make really a difference. All right. Everyone's died or?
One more, we got time. 48.
Okay. I'm so glad that you found that you saw the page numbers.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's slide numbers. Here you're mentioning Sphene in the return type. There's four places where you can put namelif, return type, a fixed argument type, default function argument. But the usual best one is a default template argument, mostly because it works all the time and it gets it out of cluttering up the return type. So unless there's a specific reason to prefer one location, I'd say recommend not doing the return type. And that works in 11, it doesn't in 14 yet, just being. But you couldn't do it in 03, you need the default template argument on the function.
Okay, so, but. All right. So the suggestion is to use a default argument in the template. But does that work with variadic templates?
Yes, it does. And in fact, it works even in a variadic constructor. You just put it at the end. It's not deduced.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Oh. Okay. Thank you. I didn't know that. So the comment is that I could use a default type at the end of the list for doing Sphene. And I wasn't aware that this works with variadic templates. But Stefan says, and I saw several people nod about that. Yes, it does. Cool. Oh, cool. I will try that. All right, then. Thanks again. Have a nice evening.